Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining me on this Friday, and I'm excited to continue on in what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I hope today, when this is airing, you might not be listening to it on this day, but it's right before 4th of July, and so I hope that you are off of work. I hope that you're relaxed and enjoying a nice long weekend or whatever it is, whatever you're going to do this weekend, but the Lord has been really speaking to us. And so I hope you're rested and relaxed and wishing you a happy 4th of July. And the Lord still wants to speak to us. And so it's so good as we move through this summer, we're talking about fixing our eyes on the Lord, about staying with Jesus, about making him the priority. When we look at him, friends, what we've been talking about all week is when we look at him, when he is the center, when we make him the center of our lives, our firm foundation, we're looking to him. We're not afraid of the ways that he comes in our hearts like a fire. The love of God is a burning fire, and it burns up all that's harming us. It burns up all that's in its path. It burns up all that's keeping us separated from God. But sometimes we're so afraid that we say, God, I'm only going to let you come in a little bit, or I don't want you to be too mean to me. And that whole fire stuff, that whole purification stuff, that sounds like really mean Old Testament God, but it's God's mercy and it's God's love. And maybe you're like, man, I don't know if you've ever experienced a time where you're like, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that. And then the Lord like does something in your life that you know you needed, and it feels like this purification of fire, but then there's this freedom, and you're like, oh Lord, this is your mercy. This is your mercy burning up this thing in my life, setting it on fire with charity, because that's what God is, burning charity in the heart of man. And whatever you've been convicted of this week, whether you're feeling really good at the end of this week, whether you're like, man, I'm frustrated because I feel like there's so many things the Lord needs to burn up. Wherever you are at with that the Lord is here and his fire is blazing, but the Lord has the ability to be blazing and fiery and also gentle and tender at the same time. And I believe that the Lord's been speaking to us, and he's going to continue to speak to us today as we spend the last little bit of time we have together in these last pieces of 1 Corinthians 3 that we've been meditating on. So wherever you're at today, I just encourage you right now as we pray, we're going to pray again with Isaiah chapter 6 to set our eyes on the Lord, on the one who reigns in glory. That you just with me, take a deep breath right now. And you would just let any walls down in your heart, any places that are tense, any places that you're like, yeah, I want to listen to this, but I don't really want the fire of God to come in this place in my heart. I like that place. I'm kind of afraid. You just come into the presence of a God of love. A God is love. And he won't take us, he won't do something in us that he does not want to take us through himself. So Lord, we love you. We worship you. We ask you to come right now and make our hearts docile to your spirit as we read the last portion of this word. We're going to read Isaiah 6. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I'm going to read this last section. then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Thank you for this word, Lord. And thank you for the word we're going to read in 1 Corinthians. Reveal yourself to us and purify us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to read that little second half. We've only been reading the first part, but I love that because Isaiah has this response. He's in the presence of the Lord. He says, "Woe to me. I'm with the Lord of hosts. I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm struck by my sinfulness." And it says the angels of the Lord come to him, and it takes coal from the altar and burns his lips. And it says, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your sin and your guilt has taken away," that the purifying fire also takes away our sin and our guilt. And it's then that the Lord says, "Who will go for me?" He's saying, "Isaiah, I purified you. Now I'm entrusting you. I'm commissioning you with a work." And the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, "Come into my presence. Look to me. I will purify you. And then I will say, who will go for me? Who will go for me?" And he says, "Here I am." He's been purified, so he's ready. He says, "Here I am. I will go for you." It's so good. And I want to pick up here in 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If any among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So let no one boast of men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God." We talked a little bit yesterday about this setting apart happening with the temple, this anointing. And I want to read a couple places where the catechism talks about us being temples of the Holy Spirit. "The status of God's people is that of the dignity and freedom of the sons of God, in whose hearts the Holy Spirit dwells as in a temple." Continuing on, "The Holy Spirit makes the church the temple of the living God. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the soul, as it were, of the mystical body, the source of its life, of its unity and diversity, and of the riches of his gifts and charisms." I love this. "For the body of the risen Christ is the spiritual temple from which the source of living water springs forth. Incorporated into Christ by the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the living God. Christ is the true temple of God, the place where his glory dwells. By the grace of God, Christians also become temples of the Holy Spirit, living stones out of which the church is built." Friends, we've talked about this so much, and we're going to talk about it again and again and again. Christ dwells in you. I love that. I'm going to read it again. Catechism 1179, "For the body of the risen Christ is the spiritual temple from which the source of living springs of water are coming forth." The body of the risen Christ, Jesus Christ, his body that was killed, that rose from the dead, out of his body flows living water. He is the new temple. And now he's saying through baptism, "I live in you and you are the new temple." In John 7, he says, there's a promise, "Out of your heart shall flow living water." He's saying, my vision for you is you carry the source. I am the source of living water, and you carry me. You are the living temple of God. You are incorporated into Christ's body by the Holy Spirit. This is your reality. Jesus, the true temple of God. And Jesus now dwells in you. Christ dwells in you through your baptism, so you are a living temple. Holy and worthy, you are God's temple. And then I love Paul as we wrap up here. He goes back into what we talked about a few weeks ago. Let no one deceive himself. He'll go into this deeper in 2 Corinthians. He says, you are God's temple and the wisdom of this world. What the world's saying you should build your life on, what the world's saying is important, what the world is saying is powerful, all of these different things, what you think is wise according to the standards of the world, it's foolish. It's folly. Do not be deceived. Let him become a fool that he may become wise. There's this foolishness. Friends, become a fool for Christ. Don't be afraid to be misunderstood. Don't be afraid to be embarrassed. Don't be afraid of all of these things. Don't be afraid to be a fool for Christ, because when we become a fool, then we're wise. Because the wisdom of this world, God says, no, that's just craftiness. That's slyness. Be humble, be meek. And this, the thoughts of the wise are futile. Those who have a worldly wisdom, the way they think, their thoughts are going nowhere. Their thoughts produce nothing. They end in nothing. And he says, this is not what temples of the Holy Spirit do. Temples of the Holy Spirit carry the wisdom of God, which is what? The cross. Meekness, humility, submitting in obedience to God, dying, becoming obedient to death, so we may be raised with Christ to new life. And I love this. Let no one boast of men. There's another place where Paul says, if I was going to boast, I would have everything to boast for as a man. I'm really smart. I have all the knowledge of all the rabbis. I'm basically the best rabbi. So if anyone had reason to boast, it would be me. But he's saying, let no one boast of men. And then he goes back to these places of belonging, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, all things are yours. Because you don't belong to these individual men. You belong to Christ. And so he's saying, all things are yours. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells in you. You have access. So don't boast of the world. Don't boast of what you have in men. Boast of what you have in God, which is what? Which is everything. And he says, all things are yours in the world of life or death, or the present or the future, whether you're alive, whether you're dead, in your past, in your future, no matter where you are, you have all things in every circumstances. All are yours. And then this final line, and you are Christ's. Friends, you belong to Christ. You may feel like you don't. Because you may feel far and distant. You may feel separated because of your sin. You may be frustrated by different things. You may be mad at God. You may feel like you don't belong to him, that there's this separation. But you are Christ's. He bought you with his blood. You belong to him. And it goes even further. It says, you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Jesus belongs to the Father. You have been entrusted to Jesus. He's holding you. And then Jesus belongs to the Father. So you belong to the Father. As you go into this weekend, friends, take that truth with you. You belong to God, and all that he has is yours. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.